Well, I have been going through a series, what I've called The Road to Nineveh, and we are going through the book of Jonah. Last week we saw the sailors that were with Jonah. They came to faith in God, and they turned from the gods that they had been worshiping or they had cried out to. They turned from those gods, and they came to faith in the one true God. They worshiped, and they made vows to be faithful to the true God. Jonah was thrown over into the water. He was expecting to die for his rebellion against God, and instead God appointed a big fish to swallow him and save him. And in the belly, Jonah has time to reflect on his disobedience. He has time to pray. And since trying to run away from God, Jonah hadn't prayed. But now, in the belly of this big fish, we get a glimpse and we're able to read and see his prayer. And I realize I read this prayer last week. But today I'm going to kind of dive into it a little deeper. We read it and we moved on. We read it, but today I will actually be diving in a little deeper. And hopefully this week my PowerPoint will be correct, as last week it was from the week before. But anyways, if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, if you want to follow along in your Bible, we'll be starting with Jonah 2:1, and we will read this prayer again. Jonah 2:1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you and to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Before we look at this verse by verse, we can see that Jonah has, in this prayer, he's really speaking from the heart. What he says is not a superficial prayer. It's not masked. We get an honest look at what was going through Jonah's heart and mind. Yes, he's in the belly of a whale or a big fish. And yes, God used it to save Jonah. But at the same time, it was Jonah's decisions and Jonah's behavior that led him to that very place in the belly of a whale. He was a mess, literally, but also spiritually. But his hardness, you really, at the beginning, we could see that there was a hardness in Jonah as he's trying to flee the presence of God. But his hardness does not grow. It does not grow harder because of what God did, but his heart softens. He knows that God has indeed saved him. So let's look at verse 2. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me." There are many passages in Scripture, in our Bible, many passages that have this very similar theme. Many come from Psalms. It's we call in our distress and God answers. One in particular I would like to share with you is Psalm 3, verses 2 through 3. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. See, the psalmist here is David, and David speaks of being rescued. David is rescued from his enemies, yet for Jonah, he was rescued from the sea. But that's not all. You see, we know that when he was thrown into the ocean or into the sea, he's going to drown. And God sent this whale to save him. But he was also rescuing Jonah from himself as well. See, Jonah was making a decision to run away from God. A decision that is taking him further and further away from the relationship that he had known. So though God is saving him physically from dying in by drowning, God's also rescuing him from himself. You see, Jonah, I actually just want to say, oftentimes we can be our own worst enemy. Kind of like with Jonah. You see, in Adam and Eve, they were tempted to eat the forbidden fruit because they thought if they ate it, that they would be like God. They would be in their own minds, be their own God. Jonah, he wanted to play God when God is saying, go to Nineveh and preach against them. Jonah knew that God had in mind, or that God was going to be compassionate and merciful. And Jonah wanted to play God himself, and he did not want to see that terrible nation being shown compassion or mercy. And I think that there's times that we have, you know, different circumstances, but we have kind of similar struggles. We can be our own worst enemy, where we want to play God or we want to be independent from God. But God knows the best place for us is to be with Him and in His will. He doesn't force us, but He knows it. He knows that's the best place for us. So the Lord is rescuing Jonah from himself. And let's get back to the passage in Jonah. Jonah cries. Says, I cried out in distress, and God answered me. I'm not sure if I have this here. Yeah, I do. I cried out in distress, and God answered. And I think this helps us see that even in Jonah's disobedience and rebellion, Jonah never truly got to a point where he fully rejected God. He was rejecting the task he was called to do. But he never fully rejected God. And I don't want to make things look better than they are. Jonah clearly disobeyed, and therefore he clearly sinned. And though we know Jonah was trying to flee from God's presence, there was still a reverence for God. Jonah still had a reverence for him. Even when the sailor asked him earlier and asked him who he was, Jonah might not have responded that he was a prophet, but what he did say is that he worshiped the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. He was still reverent toward God. In his distress, God is very important. In distress, we often move to basic things. Should I face death? What would be some immediate thoughts? Now, obviously, self-preservation is probably going to be one of the immediate thoughts. But what else? The things that are very important to me would likely come to mind. God, wife, kids, family. You've heard that statement, I saw my life flash before my eyes. Well, what does that mean? It often means when we're faced with something, a scary moment, or maybe we're a near head-on collision or something like that, we suddenly see the things that are important to us. For Jonah, when he was thrown into the sea, his life flashed before his eyes, and God was at the forefront. We're told, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." See, Jonah, he had a foot in the grave. Well, maybe more like almost all of his body was in the grave. But in a moment, he would drown and die. I was talking with my dad a little bit, who used to serve in the Navy, and he told me there's a few times where the seas got really, really rough. I've been on the ocean, but evidently that rough ocean I thought was rough is nothing. And he said, when they are really, really rough, it is, if someone falls over, it is pretty immediate that they will not survive. That's where Jonah is. In a moment, he's going to die. Verse 3, "You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me." I think it's interesting, who was it that hurled Jonah into the deep? It was the sailors. It was Jonah's disobedience that led to the storm, that led to him being thrown into the sea. Yet in that moment, what else could the sailors do? Those couple of verses describe what's happening to Jonah. He is drowning. Just look at those words describing the utter powerlessness of Jonah in that powerful, raging storm. Deep, heart of the seas, the currents swirled, the waves and the breakers, they're sweeping over. What does Jonah do? He calls out. What does God do? Jonah calls out. So Jonah's been disobedient, and he calls out. And what does God do in his distress? Does God say, "You know what, you made your bed, now you sleep in it"? Is that God's response? God doesn't respond that way. I think sometimes it's harder for us because we see people going the wrong direction and we try to bring correction and they keep making poor decisions. And sometimes we might be like what God wasn't. We might be the ones to say, "Well, you know what? I warned you. You made your bed. Now you sleep in it." How many of you are thankful our God is not like us? But God answers. God answers. He answered and listened to Jonah's cry. And though we only see and read about his prayer that Jonah is having in the belly of this big fish, we clearly see that Jonah was praying the moment he entered the water. When he was cast into that raging sea, he was praying. As he was about to drown in the depths, he called out. God answered through a whale. And I think we all know that if we have put our trust in God, that he should always be first and foremost in everything. Jonah was trying to distance himself from God. And I'm thankful that when we find ourselves in distress, that God does listen. He does hear us. And sometimes my distress is because of a poor decision I made. I would say almost all of us can probably identify at some point in time where we made decisions that brought us into a point of distress. I'm thankful that God hears, that He listens. But we shouldn't just be looking to God when we're in distress or in trouble, but we should be looking to Him in everything, not just when things are going wrong. Some people feel that they can do whatever they want and then only look to God when things get uncomfortable. But that's not following or worshiping God. God wants a relationship with you all of the time, not just hear from you when you want something. What are we doing when things are going well? Are we praising God? Are we following Him? What are we doing when things are going so-so? Are we following Him and worshiping Him? What are we doing when things are not great but not horrible either? Are we still worshiping and following God? We need to be resting in the presence of our God all the time, not just when life gets out of control. Living in a constant fellowship with our Lord is very important. I'd like to read from 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John 1, 3, the second half. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And the next passage I want to share is 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. See, we're called to be in a fellowship with Jesus Christ, to remain in Christ and have that close relationship with Him. That's fellowship. Life will have its ups and downs, but our fellowship with Christ is not to change with the changes in our circumstances. Now, we know that Jonah ran and his fellowship with God suffered. There are consequences, and then there was turning back to God. Sometimes that can be a painful cycle. We're close to the Lord and we're having fellowship with Him. It's great, it's wonderful, and then sometimes the other things come in and try to take our attention. Maybe there's temptation to sin. Sin creeps in, and we start to let go of God a little bit and push Him at a little more of a distance. And our fellowship suffers, but instead of leaning back into the Lord, we push away even further, maybe even run from Him. We end up struggling, have a trial, and then we reap the consequences, and then we finally look back to God. It's a cycle. You read the Old Testament with the Israelites, and the Israelites did this over and over and over. You'd think they would have learned their lesson. But many of us can fall into that same painful cycle if we are not careful. As a disciple of Christ, we have the power and the authority to say no and to stop that cycle. Yet often, we don't exercise it. Sometimes when I'm failing over and over, I think of the Apostle Paul who said of himself, "What a wretched man I am." You see, the Apostle Paul needed to be rescued, and we need to be rescued. I'd like to read out of Romans chapter 7:22. "For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" I love verse 25. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Who will rescue me? Thanks be to God. God sent His Son Jesus to help me, to help you, because without Him, we're drowning in sin and shame. Christ has come to our rescue. he has. I'd like to keep reading on in Jonah. We've got a little more of his prayer to go through yet. So verses 4 through 7. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. The roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. It's like we see Jonah's drowning from a little different angle. Verse 4 is a little perplexing to me. He says, I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I'll look toward your holy temple. Was Jonah really banished from God's sight? It was Jonah who is the one who left. Jonah is the one who rebelled. Jonah is the one who is saying he's banished, not God. But what we see in this verse is critical. Jonah is now looking back to God's holy temple, meaning he is looking back to the presence of God. He is remembering what it was like to be in a close relationship with the Lord. Yet the reality quickly hits in that Jonah's in dire circumstances. He was cast in the sea. The waters threatened. He was sinking to the deep. Thinking not only of sinking down, but having seaweed wrapped around you and feeling like you're being pulled down to the depths, great depths. There's no escape. Again, it's another picture of what's happening to Jonah. There was nothing Jonah could do to save himself. There was nothing he could do to change the outcome. But God could. You know, physically going into the water, but also spiritually too, as he's running and turning away from God, is that not pulling us deeper and deeper? God pulled Jonah from death and rescued him. I want to take a moment. Jonah said that he will look again toward your holy temple. He will look again at the presence and the fellowship of God. How many of you can think of times where God was really close? He was holding you up. He was speaking to you and you were hearing. He was giving you encouragement. And you just knew that at that moment, at that time, you were really walking in step with Him. Do you remember a time like that? Is that time now? Is it currently happening? Or is it a time in the distant past? Now, don't get me wrong, we'll have some natural close moments and other times we will not feel as close, but if we're not close because we're running from God or because we're living in sin or because we have gone our own way, I have to ask the question, what are you doing? What are you doing? We shouldn't look back to when we had this great relationship, this close relationship with the Lord. We should be enjoying it every moment right now. Jonah thought he was going to die in the water, but the real fact is he could have died in that water. And his last thoughts, remembering of a time when he was close to the Lord. He's in a pit. We might find ourselves in a pit that might be because of our rebellion, our choices, our desires not to turn away from sin. But let's begin looking to God and desiring an ongoing close fellowship, a close relationship with Him. God desires for us to be with Him. He wants us to have that close relationship. The consequences of our actions may not just go away when we repent, when we turn to God, we might have to accept that some things are going to be difficult because of those consequences of our decisions and actions. But let me tell you, things are much better when our relationship with the Lord is close. I'd like to read Luke 15:7. There's supposed to be an I in front of that. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The reality is we all need to repent. Remember, repentance is turning away from sin. It's turning toward the Lord and turning away from sin. And it's turning in actions, in words, in thoughts, and in the heart. It's turning to God. We're told that God wants, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. If we go on in Jonah's prayer, verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Clinging to worthless idols will do nothing. If Jonah had made money an idol, would money have saved him? He could have tried paying the sailors on the ship. Here, I'll pay you more. Don't throw me out. Just keep taking me. Money wouldn't have saved them. Money wouldn't have made the sailors less fearful. We know that they already cast all their cargo out in the ship, off the ship. Money couldn't stop the sea from raging. We remember that the sailors cried out to their gods. They were false gods, nothing more than idols. They were not gods. They were not a help. They had no power. They had nothing. Putting your trust into something that cannot give compassion or grace will result in not receiving them. Can an idol give compassion or grace? No. But I love verse 9. With a song of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. Jonah will worship. He's saying, I'm worshiping the Lord. I will worship. The inside of that whale had to be awful, but Jonah was thankful to be alive. I think that is why we can always find something to be thankful for. We might have bad health, other things going on that's out of our control. But having another moment to enjoy God, to enjoy His creation, we can have something to be thankful for. Jonah, sitting in a nasty belly of a whale, you have something to be thankful for. After giving thanks, Jonah reaffirmed that he will keep his vows to the Lord, a vow of faithful worship, faithful service. Jonah sinned when he ran, but here we see that he will follow God's direction. Seems kind of forced. And in this prayer, I will say we don't necessarily see sorrow or remorse for what he did. And I think Jonah is still a work in progress because we will address some underlying disagreement that Jonah has with God a little later on. But there is definitely a change of heart as Jonah sits in that belly. He's thankful and he reaffirms his desire to worship and be obedient to God's call. It took a storm and a whale to get Jonah to this point. Again, we are all a work in progress. And God does save. But look at Jonah in that belly of the fish. God did save him physically. But again, as I said at the beginning, God was also rescuing Jonah from himself. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ and commit to being his disciple, we are saved. But our circumstances might be a bit like Jonah's. The Lord has a continuing a process of working in us and through us. He saves us and he continually rescues us because we have a sin problem. And I'll ask you today, will you today confirm or reaffirm your faith and trust in the Lord? If God has been asking something of you, but you've been dragging your feet or you've been saying no, it's time to turn that around. As I've gone through Jonah so far, our lives may not be all that different. When we are outside of God's will, we are drowning. We are being pulled down to depths. It might not be in a literal sea, but it is a worldly life of sin that is a sea. God sees us. He desires to rescue us from this life of sin and brokenness. And we cannot rescue ourselves. But through Jesus, he makes a way. Will you cry out to him and will you let him direct your life as you follow him? Will you let him rescue you?